Welcome to this episode of the Officer Command Q&A podcast. I'm Paul Peluso, the editor of Officer Magazine. I'm joined today by Mike Wagner, the chief of the Siler City Police Department in North Carolina. Chief Wagner is a member of the Small and Rural Law Enforcement Executives Association and has been chief of Siler City since 2019. Thank you for joining us today, Chief.
Paul, it's an honor to be here, and thank you for the opportunity.
Today, we'll be talking about budget challenges and management. So, Chief, can you start off by telling us a little bit about the makeup of your department and the community that you serve?
Yes, sir. So, Siler City is located demographically between about 30 minutes west of Greensboro and about 40 minutes east of Raleigh. So, we have a challenge of having several agencies, much bigger, big cities, within 25 miles of us. So we have small town policing, but we have major city crime. So it's a unique blend. We have about 10,000 residents in Siler City. We just landed one of our biggest, with the biggest mega site the state has ever seen in North Carolina. So the anticipated growth is that realistically, my department of currently 23 sworn and 3 civilians could likely double in the next 3 to 5 years. So as I'm in my last year of as chief here, I'm trying to have that vision to plan for the next 3 to 5 years so that my successor can have a plan in place to support that growth.
So, yeah, that is that you guys will have this growth coming in the future. What have your main budget concerns been in the past for your department during your time there? And what do you foresee in being in the future?
I think what the biggest struggle that we have that seems to be synonymous is just staffing and training. Without adequate staffing, you can't really meet your training needs. When I first came here, we didn't have a cadre of instructors, so we were totally reliant on outside agencies to find instructors and then go under contract, per se, to get our officers trained. So my first area of focus was to establish a cadre of instructors in our high-risk, high-liability, firearms, defensive tactics, those areas, so that we could start doing our own training and curtail time away from the job. A lot of it's on the job during their time at work instead of their days off. So we were able to accomplish that, but we really struggled with being a small town trying to attract quality police officers with the training and the professionalism that this job really required. As a small town chief, the dynamics of policing for me, are no different than a big town chief. I just don't have the resources available to sustain the dynamics of it.
And Chief, I meant to ask you, how many sworn officers do you guys have in administrative staff?
So we have 23 sworn positions. Currently, I have 8 vacancies. So we have a commander, a deputy chief's vacancy available, and we have a sergeant and patrol available, 3 patrol officers and 2 detectives is what I'm currently short.
Okay. Has it been tough, difficult to fill those vacancies?
It really is. So when you talk about the vacancies, you talk about salary, you talk about, the dynamics of Siler City are unique because about 17% of our population lives under poverty. So we have a challenge there as far as the crime measurement index of single family homes, high school dropout rates, all those things, males between the ages of 15 and 25. We click on all of those. But when I became the full-time recruiter because I had the schedule that would allow me to go out and recruit. And so when you're looking for new recruits, you talk about salary, you talk about career advancement, professional growth, and without that training component that we started on as far as advanced schools and the diversification within the department as far as a canine officer, a hostage negotiator, those types of specialties that the next generation of policing will need, it's really hard to meet all those at the same time with a very small budget, and we struggle to stay atop in the salary field.
So when it comes to trying to get that budget and get the funds, have local lawmakers been helpful when it comes to requesting funds for different things you guys need?
I think to some degree. I think, some of the areas that I run into problems with is when I look at particular grants, and I've talked to my federal and state representatives, is a lot of the localities will... a lot of these grants ask for a particular, you must serve a population of 25,000 or 50,000. And my jurisdiction does not serve that population. But the case I present is that the citizens of Siler City at 10,000 or 12,000 not deserve the same level of crime prevention and criminal apprehension that the big cities did. And so we fall short. I do believe we fall short a little bit on grants and the application to smaller jurisdictions like mine, because we don't even get a seat at the table often.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot from smaller town and even medium-sized agency chiefs that, just being able to get access to the state and federal grants is difficult because of, the size or even the access of people to help you write the grants and apply for the grants. I know you're a part of the Small and Rural Law Enforcement Executive Association, and you guys are definitely trying to make that easier and better access for small agencies. Has that helped at all?
Absolutely. The initiative taken by this group and the vision and the leadership that is there has really presented, I think, a very strong case to all of our lawmakers and legislative bodies that we are facing the same challenges and the same dynamics of bigger agencies. And as you mentioned a minute ago, I don't have a full-time grant writer. I don't even have a part-time grant writer. So the grant writer is the chief. And so, I can do them. But, in talking about the grants, too, I want to make it clear, Paul, that, we have received some DOJ grants, many grants that have helped us procure some equipment. And so I don't want to say it's all been negative. We have been successful the last 3 years in getting about $25,000 in grants, but we need more. I don't want to make sure that I wanted to get that out there, that we have had some success, but I think more work is needed, and then the group that I'm a part of now really has got in contact with the right people, and we talk about it a lot, but I think this group of leadership now presents the case study. Here are the reasons why. It's just not a dialogue or monologue anymore. It's a true conversation, and we're able to establish here are the reasons why, and I think that's very important.
You mentioned how you guys are kind of situated in that state among a couple of bigger cities. And, you have North Carolina has so many colleges. So you have those college towns that have, bigger populations and that can support, bigger police departments. You've already talked about how it's tough to recruit the same officers and kind of vie for those same funds. What have the challenges been? Have you guys been able to work alongside some of those departments in trying to shore up some of these shortfalls when it comes to things like training or, trying to possibly get some applicants that you guys are vying for?
Well, I think we've targeted locations and departments that are a little bit smaller for us. I've been a big proponent that you can make a career here in Siler City because we are going to grow. And over the last years, we've had some very successful recruiting events because from my town manager's leadership and approval through the Board of Commissioners, we've been able to have a $5,000 sign-on bonus. We've been able to pay our staff to recruit other members outside the agency to be gainfully employed here. So all those things combined, we have really, and we've also, the town manager has also become very committed to a comp study annually to ensure that our that we are at fair market or a little bit above fair market value as far as lease. What our elected officials are struggling with is that the revenue doesn't match up the big cities, and you know the public safety budget every year since I've been here has increased. And this year, based upon the potential growth, my budget increased by 66%, at least the request part of it, in order to build for the next 3 to 5 years. These things have to be in place, and they're items, they're big ticket items that just cannot be, you know, put all 1 year and purchased. They have to be, I'm trying to plant a seed, I guess, with leadership to recognize the cost associated with technology and specialized units so that it's not such a shock to the system. And I think we're working towards that endeavor. You know, I think part of the budget too is that the public needs to understand why so much money. And so recently, I developed a strategic plan for the police department that meets and is hybrid to the town strategic plan. So every opportunity I have to go out into the public at community forums and district meetings, I let them know, I'm educating them on the deficits that we're facing, the reasons why we need it, and what the possibilities or what the consequences are of not having technology and specialized trained staff is that we will fall short of meeting the expectations of our community.
Well, it's good to hear that you guys have had seen some progress when it comes to being able to get some funds and kind of do some outreach to make sure that people know, you know, what you guys need. And yeah, as you know, as we progress, as you know, as a society, you know, technology becomes more and more, you know, important, and police departments have become more and more dependent on technology. So of course, you know, your budget's going to increase when that happens. I guess, you know, being a small town police chief, as you've already mentioned, you're kind of a jack of all trades. You have to kind of do it all. What advice would you give to potential police chiefs of smaller agencies that are looking to, you know, apply for a position as a chief or move up within a smaller agency? What they really have to do that, you know, those big town police chiefs don't necessarily have to worry about?
Well, I think it's important to understand that I believe that in our country that we are slowly building back our reputations within the community. I'm a firm believer that this is still an honorable profession. And the advice for the smaller agencies like mine, aspiring chiefs, is you have to remain committed, but you also have to have a framework to educate and be good stewards, educate the public on why you need particular fundings. And also, don't be scared to share the cost. When I ask our citizens, how much do you think it costs for me to hire a new police officer? And the answer I get is, you know, $40,000, $50,000. Well, that's just the salary. When you include a new car, in-car cameras, weapon systems, training, all the different things that are encompassed in a new police officer, it's costing my department about $142,000. And they're just like, oh my gosh, we had no idea. So that's a sticker shock that they don't understand, because you need to share that information. They don't understand about the technology and the radar units and the in-car cameras and the clouds associated with cameras, of how much that costs for an officer. So I think for an aspiring new chief or small town chief, just a new position, it's really important to share that information with the citizens every chance you get. And show them why your shifts are short, and the consequences of having short shifts. It means that officers aren't able to go out, and they become reactive instead of proactive. And I think it's important, and they want to hear from you. And I think the majority of the public supports our police departments across our country. And I really don't know, unless it's been major cuts, that any police budget that's going down, and it's a rising cost. And we're battling with, you know, if you have paid firefighters and paid EMTs, the three department heads here, we're all fighting for the same money. And it's really not about who has the best case. It's about justification. And I think that's important. But for the answer to that question, I think you have to become very in tune. You have to do your research. You have to stay abreast on trends in policing, and especially any opportunity to receive grant money. Anytime you're able to show your leadership team and your elected officials that you are pursuing ways to help offset the budget, I think that's a good steward of the taxpayers' money, and I think that's your responsibility.
But Chief Wagner, if you could just tell us a little bit more about the Small and Rural Law Enforcement Executives Association, some of the things that you guys have done. You know, I know that there's training offered and different things that initiatives that you guys have to help smaller departments like your own.
Well, I think there's a couple of different approaches there. I think the first thing was, just like I mentioned, about what does a chief have to do in small town USA, is educate the public. I think this particular group has great leadership that have tenure and experience to present that case to our legislative body for recognition and for consideration. You know, the other thing that we've done recently, we partnered with the Faith in Blue Weekend with Reverend Mark Hutchins. That has been, I think, a very successful program. We participated the last 2 years, and that's a faith-based operation that allows us to integrate with our places of worship in the town and in our jurisdictions. So I think that's another body that we've integrated into our business model, so that we are reaching all of our citizens. But I think in general, Paul, I think that the key is that you now have a tenured and experienced group of law enforcement professionals, where they're appointed or elected, that really have come together to state a cause and a mission and the need as why we should be considered for any monies, anything legislative that may hurt a small town that, you know, maybe a bigger agency might be able to handle, but to a small guy or a small town like me, it's detrimental. And I think that open dialogue and communication and presentation of needs and the consequences, if we can't get assistance, or if something comes down, some type of a legislative bill that mandates us to do something. For example, you know, I've been able to purchase firewall cameras with a smaller agency that's forced to buy those out of a legislative bill. Where they're going to get the money? And you don't want to cut money from training or hiring, so you're faced with that dilemma, and it's a critical decision for a chief in that position. So I think that's the purpose of the group. I think we've done a really good job, and I've just been a member a very short period of time, but the momentum and the mission behind it really is right on point.
Well, Chief, I'd like to thank you again for joining us today and to hear a little bit about the challenges that you guys have when it comes to budget and management concerns. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we log off?
No, Paul, I just want to thank you again for the opportunity, and I think that your work and the magazine's work as far as identifying these types of issues are critical, and I'm just grateful to be part of that.
Well, thank you, and thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Officer Command Q&A podcast. If you guys have any questions, any suggestions, you can reach out at editors@officer.com, and we'll see you next time. Stay safe.